The McDonald's Lanky Brown Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Brown Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Benton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the world wide web.
From a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
Yes, it is me, Carl Knox, alongside the star of the show and the head coach of the Benton County Vikings, the one and only Coach Matt Combs. Good afternoon, Coach Combs.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Get your mic level up. See? I knew we should have tested levels.
Yes.
It's a professional act here. No matter where in the world you are, whatever you're doing, we certainly appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to get caught up on all that is Viking basketball. We are taping this a day early, a weekend rendition on Sunday afternoon, January the 17th. The podcast presented by McDonald's, McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. How you doing, Coach?
All right, how are you?
Good. Well, you were cold a little bit ago, complaining about being cold.
Man, it is. It's bitter.
Didn't your mom tell you to wear a coat?
Yes.
But like a lot of things your mom told you, God bless her soul, you just don't listen.
Even today.
On your way to a Sunday afternoon practice, how do you guys always practice on Saturdays, Sundays?
No, I mean, it just depends on the schedule, the way things lay out with the Tuesday, Friday this week. Coming in to get a little extra work in to get ready. Obviously, we have a challenging week ahead, so we want to get a little extra work in. And we mix it up. I mean, there's times we don't on the weekend, and there's even times during the week. Sometimes we'll take a day, but just depends kind of on the schedule.
Yeah. Well, you speaking of how the week is playing out, you definitely have your work cut out for you this week. We'll be previewing games coming up Tuesday night, January the 19th, as well as a big game coming up on the 22nd. Tuesday night, the 19th, at Meg's. Friday night, the 22nd, at the Alley in Alexander. So two very, very critical DVC Ohio games.
Right. Yeah, no, we've talked to our kids a little bit about you can look at it a couple different ways. You can look at it as this huge challenge or really look at it as an opportunity. I mean, right now we're in first place, and that's obviously where you want to be, and we have an opportunity to stay there and even extend the cushion, so to speak. So we're trying to look at it as an opportunity within a 5-day period here starting tomorrow of being where we want to be in the league. So I think our kids mentally are up for it and excited about it. So hopefully we'll have a couple good practices, get ready for it, and do well.
As I did say in the opening there, going to be a very abbreviated podcast. We wanted to get this in. We both have some things tomorrow that we're not going to be able to tape on our normal tape day on Monday afternoon. And our guest, he has committed to doing a podcast with us, but unfortunately, Joe DeRosa, who's going to be a part of this officiating rule changes special segments that we're doing these podcasts. Joe works a lot on the weekends. Obviously, he's I think we mentioned it in the last podcast. Joe is one of only two officials in the history of basketball that has officiated not only multiple NCAA championships, he's also done NBA championship series as well as Olympic championship games. So he's very well versed. I think he did 25 years in the NBA, and about 3 years ago he just said, I'm sick of the travel, and he retired from the NBA, and now he's back doing, I know he's doing a lot of D1 basketball. And
he did, not to interrupt you, but I just happened to.
He did last year.
I was flipping through the channel. Well, no, this is the other night. I was flipping through the channels, and Oklahoma State was on, and there was about, I think there's only about 3 seconds left in the game. I just happened to turn it over, and there was some controversy as to probably the exact amount of time on the clock, so they were at the video monitor looking and see what the clock was.
Right.
And the guy's like, the head official, Joe DeRosa, is over there checking it out. And I was like, kind of took me back because we had talked. So he was doing the Oklahoma State game just the other night. It was on a weeknight.
So, I know he does a lot of Big 12. I think he does some SEC, and he also does Conference USA, or I think the three. Yeah.
So obviously he's traveling a lot, and you know, for us trying to pin him down and get, you know, we'll get it. But it's just
and to boot, I think I mentioned this last week. Joe runs a family, a pretty good sized business, Smitty's Sporting Goods out of Canton. I don't know if you they're a national wholesaler of apparel for any kind of athletic team you can imagine.
We've never dealt with, of course, from them being all the way up there, we probably wouldn't.
Right.
But
he owns that. That's the family business, and him and his wife and his son, I think maybe even his daughter, are all involved in that. So, you know, he's kind of one of those things, and he's a very hands-on guy. But hopefully, I'm almost positive we'll have Joe next week. But we did want to get a quick podcast in and talk about prior games. Of course, Friday night, January the 16th, you guys take care of the River Valley Raiders at home, a final score of 83-56. Kind of a game where you guys started out pretty fast as you outscore the Raiders 23-10 after one quarter, and then get a 41-29 lead at the break. They kind of came back in the second quarter there, and I thought really shot the three ball well. You guys came back, had a real strong third quarter, and then you kind of had time to get a lot of the bench players, got a lot of playing time. I think everyone on the team actually got minutes that night. Is that correct?
Yeah, they did. And that's always nice because we've got some guys, obviously, you know, like the guys that play JV for us and dress. And then a guy like Austin Ward, who, you know, such a great kid. It's always fun to get him in. And he hit a three the other night and scored. So, that's always enjoyable. But I thought Friday we offensively was – we were really sharp. I thought it was as good as we've played offensively as a whole. We shot the ball real well, but we still got our post involved. Our post had a good night for us. Chase, I think, ended in double figures, and then Bo and Sean did really well for us too. Bo McIntyre and Sean Cottle. So our post did a nice job for us, but our guards got us off early. Derek Jones came out, I think, hit his first couple shots, and then Jordan hit a shot, and we really got off to a nice start and really played consistently offensively. I mean, we scored right around 20 points or more each quarter, which is really good. And then defensively, I thought the first and third quarter we were really solid. The second quarter, I don't know if it was as much what we were doing wrong or River Valley was doing right. I mean, they hit some tough shots. Having the Twyman kid back makes River Valley a lot different team. Obviously, you're looking at a kid who can easily get them 20 points on a given night, and he was hitting some deep threes there in the second quarter and got to the free throw line a couple times. I don't know. I think he probably had 12 or 14 points just in that quarter, and then a couple of their other kids hit a shot. So it was, we talked at halftime about defense, and, I was a little frustrated with it at the time, but once you go back and you kind of look at things, I think you probably got to give more credit to River Valley than anything in that second quarter. But we came out, like you said, in the third quarter, I think only gave up 9 points. So we were real pleased with our defense for most of the night. And like I said, I thought offensively we were really sharp.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up the article because my computer's wigging out here to get the stats on this. There we go. If it'll – no. Well,
I know Tristan led us with 21. And I know we had four guys in double figures, Tristan and Derek Jones and Jordan Albright and Chase Wood, I think, like I said, ended with 10. Really had a good first half for us. So, you know, it's good when you get that type of, I guess when you score 80 points, you're going to have a little bit of balance. And you know, we were able to get a lot of guys in a scoring column. And
Derek started out with a real hot hand. I think he had maybe two or three three-pointers right there.
And right. Really, well, the very first possession, he hit a three. We really wanted to get him going, and it was nice to see him hit that first shot. Then I think he came right back down a couple trips later, hit another one. So, yeah, he kind of got us going. Like I said, Jordan, I think, hit a couple in that stretch too. So it always helps when you shoot the ball that well. But I was pleased with the fact that it wasn't just a great shooting night. We executed. We got our post involved, like I said, and scored in some different ways.
Yeah, it was a good win as you guys run your season record to 12-1, 5-0 in the TBC Ohio. And, of course, the other big piece of news, big game over at Alexander at the Alley Friday night on the 16th as the Spartans hosted the – were undefeated Meigs Marauders, and they take care of Meigs. Final score 80-69. I think the game was a lot closer than the final score illustrated, but that now puts you guys in a situation coming up this week with probably two of the hardest road dates, league road dates, that you could possibly dream up in a 5-day period, as you guys go to Meigs on Tuesday night the 19th, and then head over to Alexander on Friday night the 22nd. I know that you've how many times have you scouted Meigs in person?
Well, I just went and watched them last night, as a matter of fact, and then I had a couple films on them, and you know, so we've seen them total between film and in person 3 or 4 times. You know, they're very talented. They have good guard play. Caleb Sheets is a really nice player.
Mm-hmm. They're not real big, are they? I mean,
they're not huge, but they're not small. I mean, their posts are still, you know, their posts are sort of deceiving because they're probably 6'3" or so, but they're long and lanky, right, and kind of rangy, and the guard play they have, like I said, the Sheets kid can really play, and the Musser kid's an excellent shooter. The Lilly kid just does a lot for them and finds ways to score inside and out, just a tough physical kid. They've even got a couple guards off the bench that I think are nice kids, so they have some depth, and they have some kids that can play, and they're very talented. I mean, you look, they routinely score 75-80 points, it seems like. They get out and go. And even against Alexander the other night, they scored 69 points against a team that doesn't give up a lot of points. So they can, you know, when the tempo gets going, they can score the ball. And so we're going to have to really, really defend well Tuesday night.
And you mentioned they are a high-scoring team. Thus far in the season, there's only one game that they have been limited under 60 points. And ironically, that was a 3-point win at Jackson where they defeated the Ironmen 47-44. Do you see this being, and I guess the one thing I want to kind of, you know, get you to talk a little bit about is the zone. And it's right there. I mean, you know, River Valley played a little zone early in the game, but, you know, I don't know, just ironic or what. It doesn't seem that we see a lot of teams in this time of day that are playing a lot of zone. And Meigs, I think, from the tape that I watched, they pretty much exclusively play zone. They don't seem to come out of that very often. One, on an offensive, from an offensive coaching standpoint, how do you attack the zone? What are you guys kind of, without giving up trade secrets or anything like that, what do you get into when you run into a team like this that you got to kind of change your mindset? And or do you? Or do you just go out and do the same thing?
Well, I mean, offensively, you have to make adjustments against zone. You can't necessarily just do the same thing you do against man, especially the way they play their zone. They extend it out a little bit. It's not just your traditional just stand
they don't pack
there
it
and
in,
pack
no.
right. I mean, they're looking in their zone to cause you to make mistakes. It's not just we're going to stand around here and hope you miss a shot. We're trying to force a turnover. They extend their zone way out. They'll even extend it out into the full court sometimes and press out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think against zone, typically you have to, you know, you just have to have good spacing and attack gaps. And I think the thing that makes their zone challenging is their length. They've got some guys that are long and rangy, like I said. Plus they have some guards that can really, they're good athletes, and they're constantly looking to make deflections. And the problem is against Meigs is if you turn the ball over, they're going to get fast break opportunities because they extend that zone so far out. They've already got a guy standing out near half court half the time. So when they cause a turnover, that's a one pass and they're off to the races. So that's going to be a major, major key offensively, is just take care of the basketball. Because if you do that, you have the opportunity, A, to get good shots, and B, they don't score as easy off turnover. So it's, you know, you sort of can get them two ways by just not turning the ball over. So that's really been the thing we've talked a lot about, is let's not throw these you know, soft passes, make sure, you know, everything's short and crisp and you know, good angles, and like I said, the spacing, because then I do think there's opportunities there to get good looks at the basket, and then you don't turn the ball over. And like I said, that can help you. That can be a part of your defense, is your offense of not turning the ball over.
Sure. And as you said, with the way they play zone, and they don't, when I say they play zone, they don't play one look. They'll play a 1-3-1, one trip down the court, and then be in a 2-3.
Like I said, they play it at different levels. They'll back it up. They'll take it to half court. They'll take it to three-quarter or full court. So, yeah, you're going to see different things out of it. And again, we just have to trust our ability. I mean, we have good guard play, and we have experienced players, so we just have to do things the right way, you know, and hopefully our kids will.
Well, that should be a fun
yeah.
game.
Yeah, it'll be a hostile environment. You know, going down the Megs is never easy, and even on years they weren't very good, it wasn't easy, and now that they are good, it's going to be that much yeah. more of a challenge. And I went over and watched them last night against Southern. Of course, you know, that's a county thing, and that it was a packed house. You know,
really?
Oh yeah. And even though Southern's not having a very good year, they just with it being, I think, the Meigs County type of rivalry thing, you know, they had a big crowd there last night, and their Meigs people are excited about their basketball because, like I said, it. You know, this is sort of the first time in a while maybe they've really been in the mix of things, and so yeah, we know what we're walking into, but again, once the game starts, none of that stuff really matters. You just got to play between the lines, and hopefully that's what our kids will do.
Well, definitely, if you read the chat boards, the Southeastern Iowa preps and things like that, the Meigs fans are they're pumped. You can tell they have not. Last year they had a little bit of success, and then this year, obviously, with starting out, you know, 12-0,
right?
They're the whole community down there. So not telling you anything you don't already know. Heck, we're what 48 hours before, more than 48 hours before the game. Your face is already just.
Yeah, I don't. You know me, man. It's just one big blur from November to February.
Yeah, it's not. It starts out. You do have usually November, first half of December is pretty good.
No.
Right before Christmas, it just kind of sidetracks. Well, now that we talked about the easy game you're going to have this week, let's. Friday night, the 22nd. The 22nd. Just another easy league game is you get to go to the Alley.
Yes.
Take on the Spartans, boy.
Yeah, that
wow.
Alexander's had a really good year. Obviously, you know, had some big wins, some big non-league wins, you know, against teams like Warren and Minford, and obviously a huge win for them the other night in league play. And I think that obviously Alexander's a tough place to play because they're a good team, well coached team, and you know they have a tradition there of really loving their basketball and taking it seriously, and their crowd will be into it, no doubt. So, but it's a little bit of a different animal, different styles of play between the two games. But nonetheless, both teams do what they do very well. Alexander's really good defensively, not easy to score against. They do things the right way. You know, offensively, they're a team that have some shooters. I think the other night against Meigs, you saw that.
Yeah, Chapman
went kid.
Off.
Yeah, yeah, hit like 6 threes. They've got guys, him and Richardson. They got the guys have the ability to do that. So you know your defense has to be really good against them as well. So and it seems like whenever you Benton County Alexander play, it's just toe to toe, you know, kind of slugfest type of deal. And I think both teams play defense the right way, and it typically makes for a game where scoring's at a premium. So, it'll be a challenge in its own right Friday night. So, it's kind of the old cliche, you take it one at a time. And obviously, we don't have a lot of time right now to think about Alexander. We're putting all our focus toward Meigs. But come Wednesday, you know, we'll shift gears to that one.
Yeah, you'll shift gears big time. I mean, it's literally when you look, and I know I'm not trying to be cliches, like you said, take them one game at a time. But this is we were talking yesterday. This next, not just the to get too far ahead of myself, but not just at Meigs, at Alexander, and then when do you have
Athens coming up?
Yeah, on the 26th. So I mean, you got three very critical. You know, you get business done on those three games, and pretty much you're going to have a stranglehold on the TBC.
I mean, a lot of things are going to start to take shape, no doubt about it. And that's January. That's normally what happens this time of year. You know, you start to see league races take shape a little bit, and you know, you just hope that the work and the preparation you've put in up to this point, and the schedule we've played, where we have been battle tested, you hope those things pay off. And that's about all you can do. You just go to work every day and try to get better. And I think our kids have done that. And you hope that when the ball's tossed up, that stuff pays off for you.
Yeah. And I don't know what it is about Alexander. It seems like Alexander, we always play very well at home against Alexander, and conversely, not that we played bad, just like you, just playing at the Alley. That's just, it's just a tough environment to play in.
And when they're a good team, it's not easy to play them anywhere, like you said. But it, you know, you always, I think, in this league, when you're the home team, you feel like, you know, you feel a little more comfortable, obviously. But ultimately, like we told our kids, you know, for us, it doesn't really matter where we play. I mean, once that ball's tossed up, you know, everything in between the lines is the same. You just got to focus and do your job.
Okay. Abbreviated podcast. You got to get to practice.
Practice.
What are we doing today, practice, Coach?
Well, we're gonna work on several things today. You asked me earlier. Sometimes the reason we do a Sunday practice, and I don't love doing them because I think, you know, I don't really like.
You don't drive enough to begin with.
Well, and I just don't like coming in on Sunday. I think Sunday's a day for families, and you know, we try to stay away from it the best we can.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, with the schedule, it forces our hand a little bit. And I think in this situation where you play Friday night, you know, you come in yesterday, you can't do a whole lot. Kids are pretty worn out, you know, and we lifted a little bit and shot a little bit, but then today's a day, and conversely, Monday, you don't want to go at it, you know, the
hard,
day before a game,
right.
Just kill them. So you got to have that middle day, and that's sometimes why we have to come in on a Sunday where we can go full court a little bit and get after it a little bit, and they still have that time to rest a little bit before Tuesday. So that's what we'll try to do today. It'll probably be a little bit of an up-tempo practice. You know, this time of year, we typically don't practice more than about an hour, honestly, hour and 15. I'm a big believer in, if you're organized as a coach, if you have your plan together and you stay on it, you can get everything you need to get done in an hour and 15 minutes. Anybody that says they have to go 2 hours, I would say time management's an issue because I just don't think you have to go 2 hours. You know?
And don't the kids kind of get a little bit? I mean, that's...
Right, I think so. An hour and 15 minutes, there's a lot you can get done. We don't waste time. I mean, we get in there and go.
Do you break down minutes on your practice card?
Yes. Yeah, we do.
And every coach, you and MJ both.
And the reason I do that, I started that years ago, and because sometimes as a coach, you'll get into a drill and you'll think, well, it's not going the way I want it. We're going to keep doing it till we get it right.
You drag it out.
Then all of a sudden, you've ran one drill for 30 minutes, and did you really get better? And
So
I think sometimes, you know, you just have to keep yourself. Okay, look, we've done this for 10 minutes. We need to move on, and we'll come back and hit it again tomorrow if we have to or whatever. But I think staying organized like that's important.
Well, it's practices. I mean, and also, are you done? Do you still put in sets or tweak any motion or anything like that this time of year? Or is it,
you know, not a lot?
Everything's already pretty much.
Yeah, not a lot. We don't add a lot of stuff. Or, you know, I do think as you get into the second half of the season, and obviously, you know, down the stretch run toward tournament, it doesn't hurt every now and then to have another trick up your sleeve, so to speak, and maybe add something in, but not much. You know what I mean? It might be a little bit of an adjustment on what you already do or whatever, because I think when you start trying to do that, you confuse kids. And, you know, I mean, by now you better have your ducks in a row anyway. You've played half your season, so, you know, so normally not too much.
I'm not a coaching expert or anything, but I can think of a couple of sets that might need to go back into the rotation.
Well, hey, I mean, I'm sure there's...
Now, you know, me and you have spent a lot of time over the years talking about sets and the naming of said sets.
Yes.
Because I'm all about... It's not only about the youthful education of learning the game and becoming, you know, better, a better young man socially, you know, learning, getting along with others, working together.
Yeah.
But it's about having fun.
Yeah.
And I just think that the way you and NJ come up with some of these names for your sets. Hurl?
Huh?
Hurl?
What is it? Curl.
Curl.
Yeah. But that,
I thought you said hurl.
No, but that'd be a good one. Maybe when I watched that play, it didn't work and I wanted to hurl. I don't know. You know what I mean? We have a set. We don't always run it. Some years we run it, some years we don't, depending on personnel. But we had a set called Bob. And you know why that's called Bob?
Grillo.
Back when I coached Andy, we were saying, okay, what are we going to call this? And one of the guys on the team said, let's call it Bob. So I don't even know if Bob knows that, but that's Andy's fault. That's Andy and Taylor Reed, those guys' fault. Yeah. Oh yeah. So he can blame them, and it just stuck.
And one of the most famous sets of all time in your coaching tenure back in the Jeff Miller days was the famous cowboy.
Yeah, yeah.
And just a cowboy. Well, you really don't have the personnel this year.
Yeah, no. See, some sets change from year to year depending on your personnel. And maybe we could change Curl to Carl. And then you and Bob could each have one.
Well, I would think just curl, when you reverse curl, you get hurl.
Yeah.
Now, that's a train wreck waiting to happen, because some kid's going to hear curl and some kid's going to have hurl, and you're going to have kids on opposite sides of the court, and it's just going to be
That's always
just
great
fodder to get you wound up.
Yeah.
Well, I need to watch football. You need to go to practice.
All right. And hopefully next week we'll have Joe on and finish that series. And
yeah.
Yeah, I think I've talked to a couple people that really enjoyed listening to Dave Hopkins the other day. I want to say that. Oh, yeah.
He did a great job.
Yeah, he did. He really did. And I've had a couple people tell me they thought it was that it was really neat to sort of think about those things. And so that's good. I'm glad people enjoyed it. And if we can get Joe on, obviously they're going to enjoy him because of his what he's accomplished in his career.
Yeah. I by the way, I got a phone call last night from one of our a Viking alumni and an avid podcast listener over in Carmel, Indiana, Andy Booth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Andy's he listens to the podcast regularly, and he indicated to me, and I wanted me to pass this along to you, that the podcast serves as his workout mojo energizer.
Ooh.
He puts on his iTunes, you know, gets a podcast on his iTunes, gets on the treadmill,
yeah,
says it just makes that half a mile that he walks in 50 minutes go real fast.
Man, I feel like Tony Horton, man. I feel like a guy, I'm
like
helping
a trainer.
Him get fit. Yeah.
Yeah. You look like a Tony Horton.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Resemble him a lot.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. For Matt Combs, Carl Knox, we'll talk to you next time on the Viking Roundball Podcast.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Viking Hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast.